Okay, today is September the 2nd, 2011, and we're in Detroit, Texas, and we're meeting with Ronnie Parker and his mother to record an oral history for the Cobell Historical Society. Let's start, Ronnie, by you telling me when you were born, where you were born, and who your parents were.
My parents are Herb and Betty Parker. I was born in Dallas, but I mean, we lived in Farmers Branch at the time. And on November the 8th, 1952, we moved to Coppell when I was 5. And I was there ever since. Until I left to go on my own.
All right. And tell us who you are, when you were born, and who your parents were.
I'm Betty Pruitt Parker. And my parents was Ruby Sweet and Dave Pruitt. And I married Herbert Parker from Coppell. And I was born halfway between at the Tarrant County line.
There's a little house there, and she was born in the lower above Joe Sweet's house.
Okay. And what year? When were you born?
June the 30th, 1931.
31. And when did you get married?
51.
51. And you married who?
I married Herbert Parker.
Okay. And then Ronnie, how many children did you have?
I have two.
Ronnie was first or second?
Mm-hmm. Ronnie. And then I have Randy Clyde, named after, Ronnie is named after my daddy, Ronald David, the David. And then the youngest son is named Randy Clyde after Clyde Parker.
Okay. All right. And we're going to get into a little bit of that, too. Tell us your name, who you are, and where you were born.
My name is Dave Pruitt.
Born in Collin County, out in the boonies.
Yeah, Collin County. And I was born in
March 21st, 1928. Okay, right around the Depression time. Yeah, yeah.
On a cotton sack.
On a cotton sack, okay. All right.
His birth certificate was lost in the fire at Sherman when the... That's another story. It's a bad story. But anyway, and so he didn't get his birth certificate for years.
There was a lynching on the square of the bracket.
I found those pictures too.
Oh my goodness. Oh, those are the kind of things people thrive on.
It wouldn't fit.
All right, so you moved to Coppell, Texas approximately when?
In 47. 19. Again.
You had already lived there?
Yes, I'd lived there, and then but we moved all over the place. We moved to Hebron, to Louisville, to.
Papa followed the work.
And we moved back September the 17th of 47. And I went to school at Carrollton, graduated in 48.
1948. Okay. And then you lived there until when?
Let's see. We lived there until we moved away when we got married. And then we moved back when he was 5.
And then they moved again when I was a sophomore.
Okay.
To Louisville.
Okay.
Moved up to Holland Village.
And
we went there back to Flower Mound.
Okay, now, I have trouble keeping all this straight because I'm not good at this, but other people are, so let's get it on the recording. Tell me how the Parker family and the Sweet family are all related.
Now, the Parkers and the Sweets were not related until Herbert and I got married.
Okay.
But I can tell you something that might be of some interest.
All right, please do.
Over where Bartonville is.
Okay.
Okay. our daddy's family was, they lived up on the hill. And so they were moving to go over there to State Road in Coppell. And there was a wagon down here at the end of the hill getting ready to move up there. And that was, Grandy's, Mr. Parker's, all of his family. And they was waiting down there, so, I mean...
Wasn't it Nan? It was Grandmama's family, wasn't it?
No, it was, that was Grandy's family.
Okay.
And, but anyway, so we met and everything. I mean, we didn't meet, but I mean, they met. And then everybody, you know, married their spouses and everything. And then Herbert went to school. He was in the same class with my sister Bernice. He lived next door to my sister Lucille, who married Pete Salmon. But I didn't know him until I had a blind date with him. And remember Billy James Harwell?
Yes.
He had gotten a blind date with us. I mean, for us. And so that's how the Parkers and the Sweets kind of...
all knew each other.
Yeah.
Tell me where your house was exactly on State Road. Side of the road was it?
Okay, now, Lancaster Farms, where there was a water tower over there.
Hadn't been a water tower there, Mom.
Well, honey, I said there was.
Forever, so I...
was this on State Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this back in the time when Coppell, because Coppell's a lot older than Dallas.
Yeah.
And Coppell had the bank and the theater and all that stuff in there. This was back during that time. There was a water tower on State Road not too far from Bethel.
Okay.
You know where it cuts through there? It's been dirt road all forever.
Yeah.
They tore it all up. The house was just about halfway up. You know where the Wagon Wheel Ranch is?
Yeah.
It was about halfway.
Between Wagon Wheel Ranch and State Road.
You know where Ruby Road makes the turn?
Right.
Right in the bend and State goes out of way?
Right.
It was about halfway.
Okay, now Ruby Road was named after my mama.
Your mother, who was
Ruby Sweet. Ruby Bell Sweet.
And Sweet Road was named after her family, not actually her.
Yeah. So your house on State Road was about halfway between Wagon Wheel.
No, not our house.
Oh.
That was...
That's where the
grandpa.
You're talking about your mother's.
You're
talking about your mother
back.
And father's house.
No.
No.
Back a generation.
Oh, your grandmother and grandfather.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me their names
Pruitt.
Again.
Henry, Calvin, and Molly Pruitt.
All right. And they lived on State Road, halfway between Wagon Wheel Ranch and Fleet Road.
Yeah.
Was it on the west or the east side of the road? On the Grapevine side.
Yeah,
it's on Grapevine side.
All right. So it was on the west side. Okay. About halfway down. All right. So those were your, grandparents.
That's my second, great-grandparents.
Great-grandparents. All right, let's come up to your grandparents.
Okay.
That would be, how did that happen?
Talking about Nanny. Nanny and Pawpaw. That was the Pruitts.
Okay.
That's her grandpa.
That lived on State Road.
Lived on State Road.
Okay.
Then they had a son, Dave, which is my namesake.
Uh-huh.
And he met Ruby, which is my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And Nanny lived...
And they lived here.
They lived here. Nanny lived here.
Okay, so
here for almost forever.
That would be on the corner of Denton Tap and Bethel Road.
Mm-hmm.
On the northwest corner.
Right.
And in this brick house?
In this brick house.
Now, tell us again, I know you already told me some, but tell us about the brick house.
Okay,
what you know about
Randy
it.
Okay, like Randy looks of the house that ended up to be the plumbing house that burned when they was moving it.
A mile west of Coppell.
Yeah, he liked the looks of that. So he had, stop me if I'm wrong, Junior, he had this house tore down.
The brick house.
Yes, and they stayed in the milk house. And Grandma did not like that at all. But Grandma was like this tall, and Granny was this tall. And but anyway, they built this house. And Grandpa Sweet was colorblind. So the inside of this house is jet black.
Of the house?
When he built the new house.
When he built the new house.
The white
jet
cream front.
Nobody told him any different. She just lived with it. But he liked black.
But just after he died, Lucille and Pete, my sister and Pete Salmon, you remember Eugene Salmon?
I just remember the name Salmon.
But I think the Rushes either lived next to him or they bought the one that... You see, at one time, there was the road going down to the park that the Thweets donated. Uncle Jeff donated that park.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a...
You know which park you're talking about, the one with those stone ridges on
it? I'm telling you some things about that, too.
We need to talk about that, too. Wait a minute. Before you go to the park, let's finish about the house that replaced this brick house. First of all, you've heard the story that the brick house was the first brick house in Dallas County. Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
That's what I'd heard, but I wasn't there then.
Did you hear also that it was made by bricks by pulling them out of the creek behind the house?
Now, that I hadn't heard.
I always heard that. But that
well, it could be because they all didn't match good.
Now, tell me,
and
because I'm stupid, tell me again, who tore down the brick house and built the new one?
Walter Thweet. Everybody called him Mr. Walter.
Okay. And then
he was colorblind. He also owned Midway Corner.
Okay.
Had a lot of land down all the way to Denton Creek.
Okay.
But he built that white house,
mm-hmm.
and it was supposed to be a two-story.
Yes.
Grandpa was, what, 6'4"?
Yes.
Something like that. Well, the guy screwed up, and it was because Grandpa said, now make that ceiling a little bit higher. Well, by doing that, that made the upstairs
small.
So it was called a story and a half.
I see. See, I remember that white frame house when I was running home, but it was worn out, run down, looked awful.
Well, after Grandpa died...
And somebody, actually some kids who, really poor kids in the Underwoods, lived in that. And one night it burnt. There was a ton of kids, 12 or 10 kids, and it burned.
But see, Grandma, Lucille and Pete lived in that little unpainted house that was just right behind them.
That was the milk.
Yeah, and so they moved to Farmers Branch. And so they want Grandma over there by herself. So they moved Grandma over there. And so they rented this house out. And then they couldn't get the renters out.
Now, Mike, how long did your parents live in the frame house?
The white frame house?
In the white frame house.
It's not her parents now. It's her grandparents.
Her grandparents. I'm sorry. I'll get it right in a minute.
Well, they lived there from Mama was 15 when this picture was made, and shortly thereafter is when they...
Yeah, she was probably 17, 18 when they tore this one down and built the new one.
Well, she was 18 when they got married, and they was already in the little white house, the white frame house.
So help me out here. She, in the famous picture of the little girl with the bow on her hair in front of her brick house, that's Ruby Pruitt.
Ruby,
mm-hmm.
Ruby Fruit Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
She's 15 years old.
She's 15 years old in the picture. We didn't have that information, by the way. All right.
She was born in
96. So we think that the brick house was torn down somewhere around, can you give me a year?
It couldn't be over.
I can do the math. She was born in 96. Add 15
mm-hmm.
to that, so you got 1911.
The
so
brick house.
So it was torn down in 1912.
1912, and the frame house
built
was
back.
Built.
And because it was completed by the time she moved out, and she got married at 18.
At 18.
Because she was supposed to, they were supposed to have a double wedding ceremony with Daddy's sister on State Road.
Uh-huh.
And so the day of the wedding, Grandpa said, my daughter is going to be married in my house. So they had to come over and get married in the house. And then they went back over to the reception on State Road. And that was Emma Pruitt and Lawrence Sanders that got married that day.
See, all these names come back to me. Sanders, Pruitt, Fleet, all, you know, they're all in there. All right, tell me then from your grandparents, then your parents. So your parents, let me think, how did that happen then?
Ruby and Dave.
Ruby and Dave.
They met on the road to Bartonville, so to
yes.
speak.
Yes, okay. All right.
Is where that association came
All
from.
Right.
One was going to Bartonville, one was coming from the Coppet.
Really?
And that's when they got together at that point, and they got married. And at one point, you remember the little house down by Denton Creek? There was a little house right down at the bottom of the road.
Where at Carter and Moore? Oh, God.
Anyway, it was a little green top house. It was the last house on the left going down. You remember Billy Houston.
Billy Houston, the Houston school bully.
Yeah, that's him. He wasn't much of a bully after the fact. He's actually a pretty good guy, just loud.
Yeah.
But anyway, Billy, you remember where he lived?
No.
Okay, well, he lived right there on Denton Tap.
And there was a Turkey Knob.
You know where Otter's Hog Farm is? And Turkey Knob was that hill right there. That's Turkey Knob. The next house down at the bottom of the hill, before you get to Denton Creek, was a little green top house. They lived there.
Okay. So when you got married, you lived there?
No.
They'd already moved.
No. Daddy had cancer, and we had to sell the farm. And so we moved it to Farmer's Branch.
Oh, okay.
And but he didn't last no time. And
so eventually you came back to Coppell in 47. My grandparents moved to Coppell in about 41 or 2. My parents moved there late 46. So they were close.
Mm-hmm.
all right. Now that we got all that straight.
Got another side of the family that's there, too.
All right, tell me about it.
The Parkers.
Yeah, okay, tell me about the Parkers. Okay.
The Parkers came out of Wise County.
Okay.
And the Robinsons, which is the other side of the Parkers, which is my grandmother, came out of the Argyll area.
Okay.
And They've been in Coppell all my life, so I
Well, did you ever know
Bud
Clarence,
and Catherine?
Clarence Long?
Again, I recognize the name.
Okay, he was married to Mr. Parker's sister, who was the twin of Bud Parker.
That next door to you.
Yeah.
Just two doors down.
Let's go into that. I remember Bud, Clyde, Bobby.
That was a.
The only other Parker in town. Bobby left and went to Carrollton immediately. When did they adopted Bobby in?
Were they adopted before?
Way long time ago.
Yeah, before.
Before Catherine was born.
Yeah, because he always said they got to choose me every time they get an argument.
But, of course.
He's a hoot.
Okay, now wait. Let's place you and Hubert. Tell me again.
Herbert.
Tell me where you and Herbert lived when Ronnie was born.
Farmer's Branch.
Okay. So when you moved back to Coppell, tell me again where you lived.
On Post Oak.
Oak Road.
We rented a, let me tell you a story. I'll tell you some childhood stories.
Okay.
We rented a house while we were building that house, while they were building a house. We rented a house. Do you remember what was the man's name next door? It had the dogs. I just checked out. The old man that I hung with, I was at his house all the time. Lived at, you know.
Now, are we talking about Oak Grove Road?
Bethel Road. You know where Hodges Ministand is?
And
you know where the Stories lived? And the next house down was a little long frame house, and then there was one house at the end. And that was it at that time.
Wait a minute. Let's take the time to place this. If we're on Bethel Road.
Before the creek.
All right, so you're going east toward Denton Tap.
Yes.
Before the creek,
we were the second house back from the creek on the right-hand side.
On the right-hand side, okay.
And that house.
Now, when I was a kid, Wayne Story
lived
in there.
He lived two doors down.
He lived two doors west of you.
Yeah.
Toward town.
Toward town.
Okay, all right, I got it. Okay, go ahead with your story.
And we moved into this house. It was a temporary rent house until they were building the house on Oak Grove Road down by the rodeo arena, before it was rodeo arena. And all I remember is that that we moved
nailed,
in there in the wintertime, and it was
nailed,
the coldest house I'd ever been in my life.
Every quilt that we
she
had.
Quilts up over.
Well, it was old, wasn't it?
Oh, it was old. It was old. And it was the only rent house available in Coppell.
Uh-huh. Temporary rent house, because we just needed it for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
So we had to get possession of
it. Oh, man, did I get cold. I can remember, I'd go in there, Mom and Dad's bed. You know, I'm 5 or 6 years old, about to go to school.
Uh-huh.
I can remember going in, crawling in. I was so cold, I could not
and
tell you how cold
the
I
wind
was.
Blew so hard out of the north
that
it blew
the
south window out.
That's how bad that house was. But we had, I mean, we had great times there.
I can't remember
that man's next door.
I can't either, but.
But I hung with that. I mean,
it
was an older gentleman. I'll think of his name in a minute. But he had pickaninnies. And we'd play with those dogs, and he was a crusty old codger anyway, but I mean, it's just a good memory, you know, to have,
sure.
You know, just experiencing stuff. And we played baseball
and it had one bedroom, and then it had a breezeway. And
yeah.
That was their room.
My
and
room was the breezeway, and I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't a breeze. It was a damn gale force wind.
Now, when you moved from there, you moved to the new house on
yes.
Oak Grove.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I believe that is the house that my brother-in-law mostly grew up in. The,
Arthur's?
Who?
Arthur's.
Yes.
Yep.
They bought it from us. And,
you know, there's a story about that. I don't know if it's true.
What?
My sister, who married Mike Arthur, excuse me, she told the story from Mike that... I guess your husband, your father, was living there, and his grandfather, Arthur, knocked on the door and said, what would you sell this house
he
for?
He wasn't talking to his daddy.
No.
And what?
He wasn't talking to his daddy.
What do you mean?
He was talking to me.
He was talking to you. Tell the story. Tell the story.
And he said, how would, you know, it's a cash deal. They could just sold that land to, you know, cash deal. And I didn't even know how much it cost. All I knew was that we didn't have but a $10,000 loan on it. But I didn't take any consideration that all the labor that we paid for and the land that we already had and
short
all that.
Sailed a big time.
Oh, really?
And I've already forgotten what I told him, but I told him something like $18,000. And he said, now who do I make it out to?
Well, that's the story I heard.
And
that's the way
I
it got
thought, happened. I called
Swear
her.
Swear to God. We weren't going to sell it. It wasn't for sale. Nothing.
No.
And so you just took the check right there.
I thought I had, you know.
You made this great deal.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was going to make it high enough. He wouldn't buy it because it didn't, you know. But, yeah, I did. And then Herbert says, well, where are we going to move?
Yeah.
You sold the house. You find a place to move. So here we go. Well, Dean, he was not all that old, but he was wanting by the lake. So we go and we find this house on Lake Grapevine. But it didn't have any access to it. And so we found this house. We hadn't even gone in it up in Highland Village. And so he had a for sale sign on it.
Dad bought it the same way that Arthur bought it.
And so we go down to the VFW hall to use telephone. We have cell phones in. And he called the woman, the real estate lady, and so she, Paul was in on leave. And so we went up there, and they had he was an airplane pilot that had been caught with a little, and so.
He lost his job.
And so they was gonna have to move, and Herbert didn't even go in the house. And I did, and Paul came over there, and I was standing out there by the pool, and he says, do you like it? I said, yeah, I love it. He said, I hope you did, because he just bought it.
Just like that.
Well,
my dad, you know,
another house he bought.
Yeah,
like
time passes on. We lived up there 14 years, and then we moved to Flower Mound, and then...
There's stuff you don't know about that house in Winsboro.
Well, Dingy, they'd been fishing down there and everything, so they tell us how to get there. Well, Herbert,
the house in Winsboro, like
Herbert does not follow directions too well. And so we came down and we were totally lost. And so we went back up there and Ronnie says, okay, I'll cancel all appointments and we'll go down there. We'll pick you up at 1 o'clock. So here we go.
I went fishing. I went down there first. Yeah. I followed down later.
Yeah, how old were you? How old were you?
And here we...
That was in 84.
And here we... September 15th, 84. Anyway. So here we go down there. And did he even go in that house?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, what you don't know is I'd already written a contract on the house. And I'd give him a, I gave him a check, and I didn't have enough money to get out of town, much less write a check for a house. And so I wrote this $1,000 earnest money check, handed it, put a contract on it, and I said, but I got somebody else, because there was another person looking at it the day I was looking at it, and I knew they were wanting to retire and get away from those rooms. And Daddy walked down there and looked at it, and he looked at it, and he come back out there to me. Yeah, he went in the house, and we were sitting there, and he said, how much do you think they'll take for it? I kept my little mouth sitting. I said, they'll take 65.
But they did, huh?
Huh? They did.
And they didn't. We paid 72.
Did you really?
Yes.
I had a contract for 70.
They took a better deal.
All right. Now, let's, Ronnie, let's concentrate on you. So when you started school,
I started school in, I guess it was, what year did I start school? 71, 12 years back, 58, somewhere around there,
okay.
Anyway, started in...
I'm 80, I can't cipher anymore.
There's eight of us that went from the first grade all the way to the 12th grade.
Okay.
And they'll be here tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
You'll see most of them tomorrow.
You started in the first and went all the way through the 12th at Compton.
With the same age.
Okay.
And... wouldn't trade it any amount of anything.
Now,
I mean,
Randy,
you know, where else you get to go and
Randy,
you know,
went to Louisville in high school, and I didn't know till he got out, because he's very close mouthed, that he hated it all the time. He wanted to stay at Coppell. Well, I didn't know. He didn't have driver's license.
But so where else? Coppell was a great place to grow up. There was not. I mean, I got a ticket for hot rodding the tractor. Remember that one? Hot rodding our tractor downtown. Me and Mitch Waters were racing our tractors. And by the way, we were 8 years old. And I had to go home with a ticket.
Where were you racing them?
In front of Schaefer's.
So right downtown?
Right in front of Schaefer's. We were side by
now
side. Got, lined
what
up.
Policeman gave you the ticket?
Story?
Albert.
Albert Hodge.
Yes.
Constable. Wasn't the sheriff.
Constable.
But Albert gave
and
me
you
the
were
ticket.
On what?
A Ford tractor, 9N. I drove it all over town, didn't I?
Ronnie was.
He made me a box and put on the box blade, had me a box where Randy could sit on it and I'd go get groceries on it.
Now, Ronnie almost was a professional bull rider.
At the rodeo, did you start
they're
at the
lying,
rodeo?
They're lying to you now, because see, when they started the rodeo, I wanted to be a bull rider. So Dad signed for me and said, okay, you can ride bulls. I was 10.
All right, when do you think the rodeo got started?
The rodeo started in 64.
Okay. And 64, obviously you participated a lot.
No. 62. No, I didn't participate at all.
Oh, you didn't?
I don't
well, you
like
did.
Horses.
You had one.
And
you
they
got...
taught me into riding bulls. I got on there. If I'd have made two jumps, if I'd have made one more jump, I'd have made two.
Okay. So you think you started in 62?
I think it's 62. Yeah. I know it's 62.
Exactly.
Because it was there. It was 60. Because I know that for a fact, because we bought that. Randy bought his new car, that 1960 Chevrolet, the 61 Chevrolet, and it was 1960. And we bought that 61 pickup. They'd already been there a while. Green one that we kept beating the post with. Anyway.
So
another story.
So of course you knew C.T. Waters. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Dobeck mm-hmm. and all those people who were involved in the rodeo.
Yep.
Okay.
Knew everybody. I used to help Mitch and I used to bring all the stock up every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
From, you know, that big pasture that's there on Ruby Road, mm-hmm. that big pasture where all those warehouses are now,
mm-hmm.
right across from my granddad's house.
Yeah.
We'd bring them down that and bring them in. I remember one time we were out there, we were getting them, and we had a fighting cow. They used to use a fighting cow for the clowns.
Uh-huh.
And we were getting all the bucking stock out of that pen. And they had some pretty good bucking stock, and we forgot about that stupid fighting cow. And I was walking through the corral, and Mitch says, "You better move." I turn around and look, and here comes that cow. And I hit that fence real hard, and that cow hit me in the, just kind of a perfect, I'm going up the fence, and she kind of caught me right in the rear. And I went completely over the fence and did a complete flip and landed on my feet and rear at the same time. But,
oh, my gosh.
And
did
remember,
it hurt you?
No.
Hurt
my pride.
Hurt your pride.
And then, of course, growing up, one of the best things, we had a farm right across from J.C.'s place, all that land all the way down to Dr. Tilly?
Yeah, Tilly.
Dr. Tilly's place there, Cottonwood Creek.
Yeah.
Dr. Tilly was on one side of the creek. We had all the other side of the creek. Where the church is, where the Baptist church is now?
That was ours.
That was our property.
Mm-hmm. Junior
and
was
Junior
on
had
that.
The one just to the
south.
Just to the, no,
yeah.
Be, that's north, isn't it?
No,
north is toward
Louisville.
North is toward Louisville. Okay,
mm-hmm.
south.
Yeah.
South of us. South of the church was Junior right along the creek.
Was Junior? Who's Junior?
Just Junior sitting right here.
Dave Pruitt.
Oh, okay, Dave Pruitt. Okay.
Mother divided
she
up between
She gave all the four kids. Had
so
six
that's
in the piece.
Four tracts of land along Denton Tap Road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Between Denton Tap and what's that name of that road right by Hank Bing's place? The little one.
Don't get me lying.
I forgot.
That comes into Denton.
You know where Beltline, Bethel comes up this
way?
No, that's not
no,
Ruby.
That's way over there.
Denton Taps here, and there's that little road goes that way. You remember where Becky Ballard lives?
Oh.
Vermont and all them?
Well, that was Bethel School Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
Bethel
right.
School.
Bethel School Road. Anyway, Bethel
yeah.
School Road back this way, that was four tracts of land right there that all the kids on.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we had...
See, way back when we was growing up from Carrollton... All the way down the Midway Corner and headed that way, a beer joint right
yeah.
Across the beer joint.
I want to talk about those, but before we do, let's go on with Ronnie telling anything from the time you started school until you finished. Obviously,
you don't want to know everything.
Your campus changed before you graduated to what's now Middle School West.
Well, I started out in the old elementary
mm-hmm.
school, no air conditioning, windows up,
mm-hmm.
and the corn patches across. And my first memory of school is we all showed up on the first day of school, and her brother, that's Patsy Moore over there, Cotton, Lloyd Moore, we looked up, and he didn't want to be there, so he was out the window and running across that corn patch, and Miss Shockey had to chase him down, and that was a sight of its own.
I can imagine.
And so anyway, we started school there. We went to had lunch in the old lunchroom, you know, the
yeah.
little small lunchroom building that you went to as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember them building the new high school, which is now was at that time the junior high, which is now
mm-hmm.
elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Junior, Herbert was on the school board then.
Yeah.
So was Herbert on the school board when the new building was built?
No,
yeah.
when the junior high was built.
Okay, so when they were expanding to a high school.
When they made it a high school.
Yeah. Well, they were moving.
That was a high school first.
Yeah, but they were moving.
Yeah.
They added the ninth, and they added the tenth, and
then
started
yeah.
the junior.
When they started that. Yeah.
Right. Okay, when we moved to Coppell, in that windblown house, we moved on Saturday. So Sunday morning, who was it came down there? Anyway, he said, congratulations. Tuffy.
Oh, Salty Parrish.
Yeah, and he said, what for? And he said, well, you just elected school board. And he said, what do you mean I was elected school board? I wasn't running. He said, well, you didn't, if you was running, you didn't run very fast because you got it.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went, what else happened in that old building before you went out of the original un-air-conditioned building? Anything you remember?
You know, it never had air conditioning my whole 6 years in that building.
Mm-hmm.
Then we built the new gym. I remember the new gym being built, which is
still there.
Still there, the
yeah.
new gym there on that campus. And we instigated the teen club, which was mentioned in the Facebook thing that's going
really?
Around there, the Charlotte Nixon. So,
uh-huh.
Remember when they started the teen club? And I started to say, yeah.
Was that team or teen?
Teen.
D-E-N.
We'd have the dance, we'd have dances there every Friday night or something like that for a while.
And when the buggy got put up on the building.
That was back a little bit.
That's back ways.
Daddy.
That's my daddy. I also know that Daddy and them, when the park was open,
Grapevine Springs Park.
Grapevine Springs Park, when it was made, him and his buddies, Salty Parrish and Dad.
Not Salty.
Salty was young. Who was Troy
George,
Curtis, George.
George Corbin.
You remember George?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know who else.
There was a bunch of them. Anyway, they built they took an old Model T pickup. And they put these long boards on it and put metal strips on it. And they'd all get back there on it and bounce and make the front end jump up and this and the other. But they put an old electric magneto and hooked it up to wires on those boards and put a row of seats back there so you could sit on it and make it do wheelies and stuff. And they'd drive it around. They'd give people, and underclassmen, they'd always give them a ride. And when they'd get in those seats, they'd just hit that magneto and shock them. So, yeah, he told me a lot of those stories.
Don't let me forget Grapevine Springs, but we got to finish with you first. We've got to go in order. Okay. So you go through the sixth grade, and then you go to where?
The middle school.
So which was the brick building. To the east.
Okay.
And you finished there. You went there in 4 years.
And I had a good experience there. Of course, that's where I met my favorite teacher. He meant a lot to me. Ms. Gibson. I took every class she ever gave in Top Hill.
Why did you like her? Why did you like her so much?
We went fishing a lot.
She
used to go fishing a lot.
She got married before she retired.
To Mr. Dillahay.
Dillahay. That was okay.
Yeah. Kirk passed away. He had a heart attack and died. And then 4 years later, she married Mr. Dillahay. And she outlasted him, too. And he passed away. And she lives in Hawkins, Texas right now.
So tell me, okay, so she went fishing with you?
Oh, yeah, we used to go up to the fishing barge all the time, go fishing.
Now, tell me some more. Mrs. Shockey was your first grade teacher.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, every one of
them. Tell me, go first grade on up.
Miss Shockey, Miss Phillips, Miss Hanley. Mm-hmm. Then I got the privilege of getting Miss Phillips again. I don't like Miss Phillips at all.
She didn't like him.
Oh, okay.
She didn't like me. I talked too much.
Okay.
But I didn't like her either. Then I had, the fifth grade was Miss Ryan,
okay.
And Mr. Stewart in sixth grade. And then, of course, you split up your classes. But in the seventh grade, Miss Gibson gave a math test with possible answers, a thinking test, is what she called it. She said, this is a thinking test. And she gave it to every person in school that had a class with her. And 100 got made. By me.
Really?
And so from that day forth, you know, we were just buddies. And she has chewed my rear out more times than I care to talk about being an underachieving math person.
So this thinking test was math?
It was a math test, yeah. All math problems, possibilities.
All right, now, you played football.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Anything?
I played football from the time I was seventh grade on, and I was all district 3 years. Got unanimous twice, all district, which was a big thing. I've got a 28 game tackle average for a year that still stands, which I thought was pretty good. I was captain. I was Mr. CHS as a senior. Senior class president, sophomore president, student council president. What else, Mom? I did everything I wanted to do.
I get
most mischievous several times.
I get the book here.
So, it was an experience. I often describe my childhood as Richie Cunningham on Happy Days.
Really? Well, that's pretty good memories then.
Nothing ever went wrong. Now, I did get hurt several times. Got caught between two cars in that homecoming parade. Busted my leg.
I heard that.
But played ball 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
And, still made all district that year.
Tell me that story of the homecoming parade.
I was riding on the front of, remember Linda Pinkerton?
Mm-hmm.
She had that 52 Chevrolet, and Larry Milliken was driving. And Troy Hamm had a 68 Chevy Impala, and he was driving in front. And I was sitting straddled the headlight. And Troy slammed on the brakes right quick, and Larry hit Troy. And my leg was hanging in between. I hobbled off the road. Pat White came up. I said, I need a pocket knife. and I cut my pants leg and opened it up, and there's my leg busted up, and you could look through it.
It looked like somebody had stepped on a great big old grapefruit.
And Pat passed out in the ditch. And I looked up and I said, Kelly Story was a policeman. He came up and I said, Kelly, I need to go to the doctor now. And I said, somebody get a hold of Mom, Dad, and tell them I'm going to the doctor. And our doctor at the time was Dr. Holliday, which was a teen doctor. And I called him. I told Kelly, call Dr. Holliday, tell him I'm going to the hospital. And he was right then. He was at Stevens Memorial in Dallas. And so I knew right what I was doing. I was all on track. They were scared dead. They were all hitting me. I was sitting right where I was supposed to be. I had my doctor. I had my hospital. I had it all under control.
And he had his hand like this when I got in there. And I said, let me see. No, Mother. No.
You don't
need
to see this.
And he said, Mama, listen to me. I said, let me see. He said, just look.
Shut her up.
But you recovered.
But I recovered very well. And, but it was, that day they stopped the homecoming parade. That was the last one for a while.
And he caught a shot put in that same leg.
Yeah, sure did, at 38 feet. Glenn Duncan hit me with that in practice. I was on crutches again every year with that same leg, bless its heart. And then, of course, we were the class that got the bonfire stopped. We were building bonfires and trying to see how it was raining, and it was real wet. Larry Brim had a pickup and I had a pickup, so we'd get out and go collect wood during class, you know. Mr. Carey let us out to do
sure.
that.
Sure.
We'd load up and wish you could back, but we'd get going real fast backwards, get that old black clay out there just to see if we could get to that bonfire. And then we'd hook on, one of us would step on the asphalt and we'd throw chains out there and hook on and pull us back out. And the next one, see, I get further than you can, and then see if you can get out there the furthest. And then the guys from Carroll, not Carroll, where'd they come from?
It was Carroll.
Came over
Carroll.
And burned our bonfire down. And so they wouldn't let us have bonfires anymore. So that stopped that. But really, that was
did you play other sports, do other activities?
Yeah, I played basketball, played track, and I played baseball other places, but did a lot of shop classes, but mainly it was, I can tell you a good one, you like, no, I can tell you.
Tell me the names of some of your high school teachers, other than Mrs. Gibson.
I had Coach Riddells, Coach Thompson, Miss Savage, Miss Ryan's daughter, and I cannot remember her married name. All of a sudden, English?
Langley.
And then, they got an angel right over there, I can tell you real quick. Who else do we have? We had a couple of temper. Mr. Brown, he was probably my favorite science teacher.
Uh-huh.
And this is my wife, Patsy. That's my wife, Pete, by the way.
She's working hard.
Yeah, she's got to keep business going.
All right, now, okay, so the high school must have moved out about 3 years before you graduated? Moved to the new campus?
No, I was there at the new campus the whole 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we moved to the new campus as...
you were there when it flooded. When you?
Flooded. I don't remember. Flood. Anyway, I was when I left.
So when you were a freshman.
When I was a freshman, I was in the new school.
So that would be the year you graduated in 71, 70, 68.
The year of 68 when I came to the.
So that must have been when that campus first opened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then let's see what else we. I was going to tell you something. I had a thought come across. Yeah. We moved up there. They built the new football field. We had to play on that first time. The nice thing to talk about Cobb Bells, we had all the nicest stuff for schools. You know, you couldn't have a better school.
We were small and had money.
We were small and had money. You know, it was just a great
time. Primarily to the power plant.
Exactly.
Let's skip Well, before we leave your high school, tell me where you graduated from.
Out of the dome, the White Dome.
And the White Dome. Okay. Let's go back to ancient history, back to Grapevine Springs Park. That's what we call it now. I don't know, maybe you called it Coffee Hill Park.
It was called Coffee Hill Park
in
the day.
We know it was built in 1937.
Is it working now? Is it
yeah, it's been restored.
Is it really?
Gorgeous.
Well, see, I could tell some stories on that place.
Well, we all can because we're growing up there, you know, trespassing.
Not supposed to be there, but I'm here.
Everybody was.
I knew every corner.
All right. I know I've seen the deed that gave the land to, I guess, to the county, whoever it was. Wheat's name is on it, and I believe Miller. Seems like
Miller,
it's two.
I don't know.
But tell me what you know about the creation of that park.
In the WPA, everybody was needing work.
Mm-hmm.
And so Uncle Jeff
gave the land to the park and then put everybody to work doing that through the WPA.
So that,
see,
so that was,
used to have,
you say Jeff?
Jeff
Wheat.
Tweet.
Jeff Wheat. Okay.
He was
and where did he live?
He moved to Wichita Falls.
Uh-huh.
He borrowed some money from my grandpa to go to Wichita Falls to get to buy this piece of property, and I think I've got this good deal, but I won't tell you about it now. So he goes up there and he gets his piece of property, and he turned out to be one of the richest men up there because he had oil all over the place.
Oh, of course.
Didn't he donate that piece of property to help the
Yes. Yeah.
As long as they kept it up as a park.
Yeah. And we know the history of that because we had to go into that. We know about the WPA, and we know about
The tree down there where the treaty was signed and all that.
Mm-hmm. The rumor is
she has a picture also of my grandpa and all the people that were going to go to World War One standing in front of the old Washateria.
We don't have a picture of that Washateria.
The day before the armistice was signed.
Really?
They didn't have to go.
Didn't have to go. I hope you'll look for that.
Because Grandpa, Daddy, your grandpa, there's an era going.
So
Daddy. Yeah, there was a whole row of them.
All right. You played in Grapevine Springs Park.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Webb Roberts owned it in those days.
Right.
It was fenced off, but he kept it up. It was like when I was a kid. I grew up there. You have any memories of Grapevine Springs Park in particular?
I cut through it to school every day of my life.
How about the generation before? We can come up with some tales.
Well, that's where that truck came into play. They used to run through that park, and it interrupted quite a few. They were kind of ornery, let me put it that way. Daddy and George Corbin and those guys, they were kind of ornery, the tales I hear.
Well, that was their park.
That was their park, and they ruled that park.
It was everybody's park.
But see, here's all of these fences, barbed wire fences. Well, and there's some weeds. Well, this part of this fence is down. Well, people would be having different schools. This was when Louisville was all down there. And they had all of this covered dish and everything. And then the boy, girl, they would head out, you know. And so then these guys, the Coffeyell guys, they would come in and they would load up on the food. Well, somebody would holler at them. Well, they'd start running. And they would
They knew where the fence was down.
And he said you could hear them.
You'd yell about they're stealing food. Anyway.
Stealing our food.
It was, remember at the age of six, because I used to watch the cotton pickers come in every year, because where my granddad lived, there by, you remember where the Harvels lived, and then my granddad down the street
the
from
shop?
You. No, not that Harvels.
Billy James Harvels.
No, it's just headed up.
Go the other direction.
Oh,
go
you
towards
mean,
right before you get
towards
the railroad
track.
You mean Frank Harvel?
Frank,
well, yeah. Yeah, because my best friend was Jimmy Harvel.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was trying to get Jimmy out of my mind.
Yeah.
I couldn't get Jimmy out of it. I couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, where Jimmy lived. Now, Jimmy and Carolyn, you know Carolyn McCain, mm-hmm. You remember Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carolyn and Jimmy used to have this, they'd have a playhouse back here, and they would never let me. Carolyn's a little mean to me, just to be honest
now,
with you.
Now, Carolyn is his cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Benita, Carolyn's
Benita,
mother.
That's my aunt. That's Daddy's sister.
Okay.
She was
See, everybody.
And see, she was the
postmaster.
Assistant.
after Granny.
She was the assistant.
Who was Benita?
Benita.
Oh, I didn't know.
She retired after 40 years.
All right, wait a minute. We need to get that on record. So Benita.
Benita and Herbert.
Benita's married. Maiden name.
Maiden name's Parker.
Benita Parker McCain.
Yes, but he died.
Tillery.
Say it again. Benita.
Okay. Benita Parker McCain Tillery.
Tillery. Okay. She was the postmaster's mistress after
no,
Clyde.
She was the clerk.
She was the postmaster.
That's all it was there.
She became the postmaster.
Okay, there was just one.
Yeah, she became the postmaster.
You know, I had forgotten that.
This is after they built the one on up a ways. You know,
one right beside the brick one right beside where Uncle Bud lived.
Right. I remember
when they built that post office, Aunt Benita became the postmaster.
And she still lived in that little tiny house.
That little gray house.
No. Well, she lived there, but they moved to. She married Gerald Tillery.
Yes, I remember.
And Gerald owned the barber shop in Grapevine. Right there on the corner by the theater.
Yeah, Pat Terry.
And then, so they lived up there, but she was the postmaster for all that time.
All right, tell me.
I've got an article somewhere where she retired. Okay.
Any other stories about the park?
Well, the park was pretty dormant at the time I was a kid, you know, which is the same as it was when you were. Other than just us cutting through, and that's where we'd play, and we'd go fishing all the time in that creek.
Uh-huh.
And, we just hung out there. Now, Herbert's, my dad's era, they used it drastically. I vividly remember about the truck and the cars and the chasing the food down and...
What do you remember about the park being a different generation?
Well, see, I didn't go up to the park.
No.
She was too young. She's 7 years younger than Dad.
Okay. She didn't go up to the park.
So we didn't move back out there till 47.
Yeah.
So okay. She kind of missed the opening part
you
of it.
You missed it, yeah. All right, let's talk about...
Because I've graduated
before
from Carrollton.
Before we talk about anything else... I'm going to have to take a break here and switch this on this recording here in a minute. Let's quickly, before we do anything else, let's talk about your uncles. All right, we know Clyde was the postmaster.
Mm-hmm. And he owned the post office, the building.
He owned the building. Tell me about, I don't know about.
That little building.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about downtown.
All right, talk about downtown.
Schaefer Store.
Right.
My granddad built that. It was his store first.
Really? He built the building?
He built the building, and he sold that to Mr. Schaefer. Mr. Schaefer was the storekeeper at the store that was two blocks from where I was born, in Farmer's Branch. And I've known Mr. Schaefer. I knew Mr. Schaefer all my life.
Really?
And, I mean, all my life, I guess. I mean, from the day I had memories, I knew Mr. Schaefer.
So you're telling me that then if you're... If Clyde built the building that became Schaefer's store...
Yes.
Who ran it before Schaefer?
Clyde.
Before he was postmaster.
Yeah.
No.
He was postmaster. If you'll remember correctly, the post office was in Schaefer's store.
Well, I never remembered that, but I've heard that.
Okay.
Now,
the post office was in both, and Granny did both.
All right.
And then when he sold Schaefer's store... He built the building and leased it to the post office himself and put the domino hall out beside it.
So the building that's still there, that was Schaefer's store, that was Clyde Parker's store, he built it in, help me get a year.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Give a guess. Let's see.
I can backtrack pretty close. In 56, Schaefer bought the store from Granny.
Okay.
I remember that. I don't know. Ask me how. I have no earthly idea,
but
I remember
right,
that.
Schaefer lived across the street from me in Longer Front.
Right.
When he bought that
store. Yeah. I remember
what
that.
Was his
I remember him buying it.
What was his wife's name?
Mrs. Schaefer.
That's what we call it.
That's all I knew. I don't think I ever knew it. I don't know Mr. Schaefer.
So let's try to Let's try to pinpoint though when Clyde built the building.
Well, that's where I'm headed. So he bought it in 55. Grandy built the building, the post office in 56.
Daddy built the gas station in 60.
When did Paul come to live with us?
Paul came to live with us. He was a sophomore.
He was 15.
He was a freshman. He was a freshman. Because they were about to go to high school, and yeah, he was 15. I was 10.
And Randy was
5. So that was in 62. Daddy built the store, the station, 63. No, 61.
61.
So he built it before Paul came. Yeah, 61. Okay, 61. Randy built that. He built the post office in 54.
Now, I thought, 54. I may be wrong, but I thought he just remodeled it.
I think the store was originally built by another gentleman, and I think he redid it and put the post office in it.
But anyway,
And I think that happened in the 40s.
Our youngest son still has the little post office thing.
Yeah. I think the building was always there, but when he remodeled it.
I think you're right. We're pretty sure that was the sign of the first general store that was ever built in Gulfville. Probably burned
it was.
And was rebuilt.
I know that. Now, you know way back.
Now,
it wasn't the first one. The Washateria was there. It was built.
Oh, I don't know. That's
a long time ago.
Well, we
and
did.
Then they had us. There was, you remember how that corner right there, the corner across from your house, that old brick curb?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story about that. When my dad was a little boy, he had a brand new bicycle. and he rode it down and to the store where my granddad was running it. Now, my dad's a little guy on a bicycle. And he got in an argument with his daddy, my granddaddy.
Because
he shouldn't have ridden it down there.
It's dark.
And it was too dark to ride on the road. Now, you need to hurry up and get home and this, that, and the other. And Daddy got on the bike. He takes off home, and he comes whipping around that corner, right at that curb, and there's a guy had a date. He was sitting there dropping his girlfriend off, and they were sitting in the car, I guess smooching a little bit, but that car sitting parked. Daddy hit him right in the rear with that bicycle and shot him over the car. And Randy told his stories. He said, you should have seen that bicycle. Because he told me about it because he bought me the same bicycle when I was 8, 7,
something
like that. He bought me the same bicycle.
We're going to stop here and let me do a different deal. I want you to take a break, but think about the dates of that store again.
Yeah, you can tell.
This is disc 2.
You can tell the archers. I got in an awful lot of trouble for selling that house.
For selling that house, I'll tell them. I want you to go back and try to reconstruct for me the years of the Schaefer store and the post office for me. What you've heard and what you remember.
Okay. The Schaefer store, I do remember, my granddad, when he bought that store, he remodeled it. And he did not build it. I made an error there. Clyde Park. It had a small shell, and then he expanded it. If you'll remember, the back of the building had a floor change. I don't know if you probably remember it. That floor that he added all the back of that store. Now that I remember exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Besides
that, when he put the indoor potty back there.
Yeah, and added indoor plumbing to it. That happened in the early 40s.
So the remodeling happened in the early 1940s.
And then he built the post office next door.
At the same time he did the remodeling
because he moved what he did is expanded his store and moved the post office into its own building.
And did he then become postmaster?
He was already postmaster.
But did he move over to the building then?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he did.
Yeah.
So somebody else ran the store?
No, grandmama did.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else ran
it. His
wife was named?
Goldie May.
Goldie May Parker.
Robertson Parker.
Okay. And as far as you know, going back before the renovation, before the remodeling, you don't know any more about that?
I don't know. I don't think there's any way I can find that out.
You know, this is what is so stupid. I just come with saying, give me your phone, I'll call Mama. Oh, Lord. Mama died in 1990.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I can't go past that. The timeline, though, is it had to be the 40s when that happened because that building. Mom turned it into a restaurant when I was a sophomore. The post office.
We use that phrase very loosely.
That was a nice restaurant.
It was Dolly's, wasn't it?
It was the Hitchin' Post first.
Oh, wait. Now, before we leave Schaefer's store, Mr. Schaefer then bought that store from
in about
Clyde
54.
Parker. About 54, okay.
Give or take
10 years.
No, it ain't that many.
Then,
but I'll tell you what we can do, if I find that picture of the soldiers.
Yeah, if you get the one of the watch theory, I'll have that picture shared.
It will show the corner of the store.
I love it. And we don't have a picture of the watch theory.
Really?
I remember the watch theory, but we don't have a picture. Now, wait.
I've seen it.
You see, we still got that.
Now, Mr. Parker, of course, worked as postmaster until he retired. We have a picture of him holding up a
retirement
sign. Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, you said you own some post. Are you talking about post office mailboxes from when
from
it was
the store.
In the store?
And we got them out of the, we got some, we had some.
Yeah,
out of the post office, too.
Now, I don't have the...
He used most of them. He just transferred them.
Right.
But some of them he didn't have room for.
But see, way back yonder when, there was a board on this side and a board on this side, and there was three saws, and it was just put together with little wires that divided it. And then down here, it was a place where you put the bulk mail. And there was like
we got his sorters. You know, you did all your sorting by hand back then.
15.
We don't have the actual boxes. The boxes stayed there with
there
the lock boxes. You remember those lock boxes in the front of the post office?
There was about 15.
They moved those to the new
of the people that came and picked their mail up at the post office.
And see, when I was a kid, my post office when we were kids was the building you're talking about.
Right.
And it had ours was Box 415, I remember, I can even remember the combination. And Mr. Parker back then, remember all that. Now, that building was not torn down, but moved. Were you around when that
happened? That building wasn't moved.
Yeah, it was. It was moved behind Benita McCain's house.
Where did they move it to?
Moved it behind the house next door to McCain.
Nope.
Because it became a playhouse.
I'll tell you, you're in the wrong thing.
All right, tell me.
I'm in the second. That's what it is. We left out one post office. The white post office did get moved behind Benita.
So the post office
brick,
Clyde
built. Clyde built them both.
Okay.
The first one he built, he moved down and he built the brick one, the block one that's there now, that the restaurant's made out of.
Okay. So you're saying that when Clyde Parker moved the post office out of his store and built the little building
the little white building
next to it. That was
remember that one, the white building? That's the first one.
That's where we had the cafe.
No, he tore it down and built the block one. It's blocked. The one we built your it's still a restaurant, Mom. It's still open today.
You're kidding.
No, it's still there.
It's a restaurant, but it's there. So wait.
He didn't
tear down that original building. It was moved.
Right. Up behind Benita's, and we made a playhouse out of it.
Right.
Yes.
And it eventually just rotted and fell apart.
Right.
I remember that as a kid. Then the building that replaced it looked a lot to me like the original building. It was little and everything.
Actually, it was almost twice as big.
Behind, probably.
And the width, it got a little bit wider and a little bit longer, and it's Haydock block.
Okay.
And concrete slab.
All right.
And the other one was on Pier and Bean, set on post.
Right.
And
so that's the...
Yeah, I remember that now, and as you say that.
The building's still there.
Still building's still there.
So then the first thing it became after the post office moved out and went to the brick building down on Covell Road.
Right.
Do you remember what year that might have been? Can you figure that out?
I can figure that out. That happened...
Okay, we were still in Coppin. That's what I was thinking.
When I was a freshman.
We were in Farmers Branch.
I was a freshman when you opened the store, the restaurant. Or sophomore. Daddy built the station in 62. We sold the station in 64. You put the restaurant in when I was a freshman. Because I was working part-time carpentry with Larry, what's his name, lived at the corner house. In summers, I'd work with him and carried his lumber. I was a freshman. I was 68. So if you start backtracking.
I can't believe my time.
Give me your paperwork. Give me your paperwork. Right here. I can tell you. What year was it when Randy?
Now, I don't...
Maybe you got lucky here. See if there's a date in here anywhere.
Another date at the top.
There it is, December. He quit the post office in 62.
Clyde
did.
Retired
the
in 62.
So they had to build that building around 63, 64.
So?
Because Aunt Benita ran the post office out of this post office for the next, you know what, I'm thinking it was like 66 when they built that post office. Because that's when Aunt Benita became the actual postmaster.
So you think 1966 was approximately when the post office moved from downtown Coppell to the brick building on South Coppell Road.
Right.
66.
Right. I want to say that's pretty close.
And is that then when you started the restaurant?
Nope. He didn't start the restaurant until 1968 or 69.
And it was called?
The Hitchin' Post.
Hitchin' Post. And how long did you have a restaurant in that original building?
Till I graduated.
Not long.
No, she ran it. Her and Judy McGibney. Judy McGibney worked for her, and her and Judy ran it.
And
you had it there 2 years.
And then
you sold it.
What's her name? Iola Harris?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She bought it.
Iola Harris bought it in, say, 69,
70.
70.
I had gotten to
Is that when it became...
She got...
I got
sick and became Dolly.
That's when it became Dolly.
He wanted to keep me, don't let me go back into the building, and so he didn't.
So then it became Dolly's, and it stayed Dolly's until it became kind of what it is now.
Yeah.
Which is
Who was Dolly?
Dolly.
I just wondered if she was local.
Remember being
You know who Miss Harris was, don't you?
Yeah.
She lived around...
Ann Harris. Right?
Past where Ruby did.
Yeah. And there's a street now named Harry Street where their house was. Okay, so we covered the post office and...
Now then, you were talking about how many of the Parkers that was around there?
Yeah.
Okay, Bud Parker.
Let's talk about who Bud Parker was.
He's my uncle.
Okay.
Okay.
He's been retired since I've known him.
Uh-huh. Where did he live when you were in school?
Right there by the post office. He actually, Grandy bought the land from Bud. That's Bud's garden.
You're talking about
the
brick post office. So he lived in the house that eventually was next door to the Church of Christ.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got that. I used to get that confused. All right.
And then you live at the corner.
Yeah. My mother still lives there.
I bought more fireworks than him
and my brother and that.
Okay, anyway.
Well, what did Bud do for a living?
I'm telling you,
he was retired.
I thought he was retired the day I met him. I never saw Uncle Bud. I didn't know what he did for a living. We'd have to call Bobby and ask him.
Yeah. Before I forget it. I want to come back to
Diane
Bobby.
Catherine, didn't she do hair?
No, she's retired too.
Before we go, well, let's go on to Bobby. Who's Bobby Parker? Who is he?
Bobby, he's my cousin.
Your cousin. Okay.
He lives in Carrollton. He's a CPA.
That's Bud's
adopted son.
And Bobby was tax assessor collector for the school district.
Yep.
They had a daughter named Rita.
Rita Parker.
And he also had a wife named Rita.
Now, where did they live, when you remember?
Well, now, Rita married a Garrison.
Yeah, but I'll get this all screwed up. Cause they all lived there when I met, I knew them. Of course, I know them all my life. So, I mean, we all lived right.
Yeah.
Granny was here. Benita was here. Uncle Bud was here. And Irita.
But they called her Rita.
She probably goes by Rita. Her name's Irita, though. And Irita and Bob, was at home at that time. When me and Carolyn and then Randy was too little to do anything. So I was just barely old enough to hang with those guys.
Now, I do
now,
have
Bobby
a video of some of the things.
Yeah. You do.
Okay. Before I forget, and back up, you're talking about when Daddy built station. We're mm-hmm. talking about the service station in old downtown Coppell.
Yep.
Tell me about that. The year was?
Dad built that, and I want to say that was around, we had that a while ago.
Well, now, you said 69, but it couldn't have been 69.
No, I think you got, not in 69. You built the restaurant in 69.
No.
I was a sophomore, Mom. Because I eat hamburgers there every day, and I drove my 62 there.
God, you did that.
He
would
two
say.
Two in the morning, two at lunch, and two after school, and two for supper.
He said, can I have some more? I said, what? I love it.
Okay, so your father,
he built that. Yeah. When they moved the Domino Hall, you remember the Domino Hall that they put back there behind the gas station?
Mm-hmm. Who built that? Remember?
Grandy. Now that was my granddad. That's Clyde.
All right, Clyde built that.
Clyde built that, and
so
we moved it back there.
So you get the old man out of,
yeah,
in front of the store.
Yep, that was it. Half money is that mulberry tree.
Yeah, yeah. Was he still there?
I don't know. Anyway, I need you guys to move around. I got a four top about to come in.
Yeah.
I need to try
yeah. Okay, so your father built the service station.
Yep.
Sam
Leslie. Helped him build that. Him and Sam went together on that to build it originally.
But now Herbert still works at DuPont.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he would open it up, and then he would go work.
Do you remember Chuck
back.
Johnson?
Yeah, I remember what he looked like.
Chuck worked for Dad.
All right, now, again, try to give me a date for the building of that service station. You're the only one who can give it to me.
Okay, I mean, I'll have to backtrack here. I was 12 years old when I was 10. Because when I was 12, I begged for them to let me run the gas station. And they did on Thanksgiving Day. I never begged again because everybody and their dog came in with a flat tire, and I had 17 flats to fix that day. And I missed a turkey dinner at the house. I don't know if y'all remember that. And that wasn't a good thing. And but I begged Daddy, so I can run. You sure? Because it had Paul and Chuck and all them
so
guys.
That would be what year?
You remember when
I was 12, so that'll be 64. So he probably built it in 63.
63. And what kind? What brand of gas did
it started out? Nope. Started out Humble.
Oh yeah.
Started out Humble Oil. Started out Humble Oil. And Dad, it was Humble the whole time. Dad had it when he sold it, and I don't remember who he sold it to. But when he sold it, they changed it to Sinclair. And then it went to a Gulf. And then it went to something else.
How long do you think your father owned it?
He only owned it about 5 years.
Junior worked for him some, and Jimmy, next door, Jimmy
Hill.
Dean.
No, it's Dean Hill. So it's Jimmy Hill.
Okay, I want to change subjects, and I'm probably not going to keep you much longer. You need to talk to me. You're going to have to talk about this because he's not going to remember it. I've heard stories though, about Midway and the honky tonks.
And the what?
Honky tonks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, we're talking about the area along Sandy Lake Road.
How you doing, bud? Man, thank you.
Well, the Midway corner was a cafe.
Okay. This is the corner where the Ottinger's Pig Farm was eventually. So that would be
you?
The northeast corner of Sandy Lake and Denton Town. All right, so Midway was a...
It was a cafe.
Cafe. What do you remember about it?
The only thing I do remember is that Grandy always took payments in change. Because he had lost money in... He rented it out to people, and they would always pay him. And college change.
Right.
But he lost.
He didn't want paper
so he owned the land it was on.
Yes.
And the building.
On the building.
Did he build it?
Yeah.
He built it.
And but he lost some money when the Louisville State Bank went kaput 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And
so he didn't believe in banks, so he'd bury it under trees.
Mm-hmm. Might have been a good idea.
There's probably still some out there. We probably bulldozed. They probably bulldozed a bunch of money. Don't know it.
Every time you would. This is a long time ago, but Jeff and Carter Moore lived down at the house that we ended up living in. It's right across from City Hall or something now. But it was just a little bitty house. And they could start digging. If they ever hit anything, man, they was down there on their hands and knees. And they would find things. Well, when we moved back out after Grandpa Sweet died, and we moved back out there, Daddy found some, because see, they used to can in the garage, and you'd put their metal can lid on. Well, he would put his money in there. And so Daddy went over there to take me to Carrollton to catch the bus to go to work in Dallas. And he said, look here what I found out there. Where did you find that? Have you been digging on Mr. Walters? And I mean, people was digging on every post office after that. But he did. He used to hide his money. But anyway, at one time, the old Denton Highway came from down Sandy Lake Road and then turned and went to...
That was the main highway.
And I mean, there was where...
They had hotels.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was one end of that road to the other. There would be a beer joint.
On Sandy Lake Road?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Midway, was it a drive-in? You bought hamburgers?
I don't know. It was before my time.
It was a beer joint.
Turned into a
beer joint.
And Granny
the stories
got,
I heard.
Did Granny get mad and tear it down because... He didn't like the way they was running it?
Yep. He didn't like the businesses were in it, so he tore it down.
I heard there was beer joints all along there at one time. Did you drop in?
Yep.
You remember any other
I've heard that. I heard that.
I've heard there was a big one closer down on Denton Tap.
Now, I do know that Uncle Guy Parker, Clyde and Bud's older brother, if I remember, I'll say this right, he ran one of those beer joints because he and Grandy crossed up a little bit because he ended up going to 377 in Oklahoma and putting that beer joint across Lake Texoma. And he put it up there, and he was there until...
At Bartonville.
No, not Bartonville.
Honey?
On 377 across Lake Texoma. He's on the Oklahoma side.
Right across, I was thinking it was Bartonville, Oklahoma.
When we went up there to go catfishing all the time, younger, we'd sit out there. Uncle Guy had that beer joint across the way. We'd go get hamburgers there all the time. I don't know if you remember or not.
You I know Herbert and I hadn't been married too long, and he said we was going to go to Oklahoma. Well, man, I got up and I fried chicken and I made green potato. I mean,
and she was back by that
salad and all that. And so he just died laughing, but he loaded it in the car. And we got up there and we woke up dying them up and Gladys and we came back to Texas to eat breakfast.
Let's, before I leave that story. Okay, what fleet was it who owned the corner where Midway was?
Uncle Walt, I mean, our grandpa Walter.
Walter Fleet. Okay.
Now, he owned the land all the way to Denton Creek.
Okay. Let's talk about the land. From Midway all the way to Denton Creek was Walter Fleet's land.
Yeah, both sides of the highway. The old Ottinger
Pig
Farm.
It didn't go, it started at Turkey Knob.
That's
went
right.
That way.
That's right.
And y'all did on both sides of the road. Now,
because he donated that road.
Mike Ottinger worked for Grandpa.
Okay. When did the Ottinger Pig Farm come along?
Not too much longer after that.
After Grandpa died.
When was it when Papa died or was it when Grandpa Sweet died? I thought it was started when talking to Grandpa about it.
Your Grandpa.
Yeah. And we get the right generation, next generation.
Your grandfather was...
My grandfather's Dave Pruitt.
Dave Pruitt.
When Dave Pruitt got cancer, they sold it.
Okay.
And that's when the Ottingers ended up with it.
Okay. Now, some tweets on land over on Fleet Run.
Yep.
Close to 121.
Robert
Fleet.
Yep.
On the lot of land
and then Susie Glenn was his daughter, and she always kept Susie Glenn Sweet no matter who she married. And that was over there closer to...
Did she have a lot of experience with that?
I don't know.
Now, what about J.C. Sweet on land right there on Denton Town?
Okay, J.C. was LG's... Joe Sweet Jewel Parrish and LG Sweet married, and they just had the one child, and it was JC Sweet.
He got 160 acres when my grandma Sweet passed away. Nanny, my grandmother, got half of the estate that was left, and JC got the other half.
And was that where that brick house?
There was 160 mm-hmm. acres. Make sure I get this right. There was 160 acres in total, and we ended up with 80 acres, and he ended up with 80 acres.
Where that cemetery and everything is back in there?
He owned that corner. He owned that corner, and we owned the wooded part over on the other side of Bethel Road and that section from Bethel School Road down to the Cottonwood Creek. And that's
now, tell me, you've been mentioning Denton Tap Road.
Okay. When they wanted to connect Beltline up to Louisville, there was a small trail through there. Well, what they did is you had to go through Coppell and come around and wind your way back through Grapevine and go that way to get to Louisville. Well, they wanted to, they started asking to look up, and what Grandpa did is he actually traded. He gave them the land if they would make sure. They asked him about the land. He said, "I'll give you the land if you'll make sure I get my cows back and forth across."
So you're saying that he allowed them to cut Denton Tap Road between
Cotton.
Where we talk about where the Dairy Queen is.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, actually, his started at the creek.
Dr. Tilly's.
You know where Dr. Tilly's is. So where the Dairy Queen is, that section of land, I don't know who did that one.
Okay.
But I know that from Cottonwood Creek all the way up to Denton Creek, That's the piece that he got.
So he gave enough land for them to cut a road through there. And we've always heard that's where he got its name, Denton Tap, because it tapped Denton Road, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Denton Creek.
Right.
It went across Denton Creek. It's named after Denton Creek.
Right.
They wasn't allowed to plant no Johnson grass on that.
Or Bermuda grass.
Yeah,
and he would go around with
He would only give them, if he put funny stipulations on everything he did. It was. He'd do anything for anybody.
So they put some kind of crossing so he could take his cattle.
If you'll go down in front of the church, the Baptist church is there right now. If you look right down in the bottom, in the front, there's a big culvert going underneath there. There's a ditch, and the cows would come down and they'd go under that culvert and get in that timberland across the street. It's still there to this day.
So
they may have filled it in.
Was it a ditch?
It was a ditch, and
it was a big
bridge. Look, it was a bridge where there wasn't a place to put a bridge. You know, it's just flat ground. They had to dig down and put this cover in there, and then they ramped it down on his property.
So that allowed him to take his cows from east to west or west to east of Denton Tap Road.
Without taking them on the highway.
I've never heard that.
And like I say, now, he would go, if a piece of grass grew on the property, I mean on the side of the road, he had him a tow sack, and he would go, and you could see him. I remember that, and I was wondering, what is he doing?
He did not like Johnson grass.
And
it made his cow sick.
Grandma Sweet says he's been eccentric.
So
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we ought to cover. What about?
We've got five generations of grandparents on both sides of family in Grapevine Cemetery.
We've got people back to 1849.
Yeah. We went to, when my dad passed away, I was standing there and some friends came that didn't know our history, didn't know us when we were young, they knew me now. And we were talking with Stanley, says, why would you bury your dad way over here? And I was sitting there talking. I said, well, see all these headstones? And he said, yeah. I said, they're all kin to me. I said, which ones? And I said, any of them.
Now, we've got a...
This is Pruitt's and Thweet's. This is Parker's over here.
We've got a 16-grave lot. And here is Mr. and Mrs. Walter Thweet. And they had a son that died of meningitis, and he was 14. And then here is Herbert. And then here's my space. And then here's Daddy. And there's Mama. And then here's Daddy's Mama. And there's Daddy's daddy.
And this is them. This is one plot.
And we still got all this over here waiting for.
He's gonna get me.
He said he's gonna be cremated and then do anything he wants with the ashes.
That's what I'm gonna do.
You know what I'm doing? I have, you know, Coppell has a new cemetery at the corner of Ruby and State.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's Wrestling Cemetery. It's called Oakwood or something. It's Wrestling. And I have a plot in there that I bought when they first opened. I'm going to be cremated, my ashes scattered in Grapevine Springs, and I'm going to put a marker in that cemetery.
That's
what
you
ought to consider doing. Grapevine Springs ain't a bad place.
I'm going to be, mine's going to be right here.
Well, I don't blame you. This is a beautiful place.
I've got a thousand, I got a 1,000 acres
it's
here.
It's over there across the road.
This has been my dream since I could walk.
That's wonderful.
And I want 1,000 acres. I don't care how I got it, but I want 1,000 acres. And I want to say it was mine.
And do you live here with him?
No, he hasn't got me a house up here yet.
Where do you live?
I live in, when Herbert died, we lived out on the lake. Well, there's no way that I could have taken care of that. And so Ronnie bought that. With the stipulation that he would furnish me a house the rest of my life, and he furnishes me a car, but I don't think he knew I was going to live this long. And he gives me, and there's so much a month that he gives me too.
You're worth it.
So you live?
I live in Winsboro.
You work it too. Sometimes you're not, but sometimes you are.
But Junior and I live together.
He's been my. We've been buddies, I mean, all my life. I mean, he used to buy me horses. I'll tell you a story in Coppell. Here's a story that you'll like.
But see, now Junior lived next door to Dr. Kelly.
Junior will buy any nag horse that's ever come down the pipe. And I was the oldest of, and Diane, which is 2 years younger than me, Randy, which is 2 years younger than she is. And we three were always doing something. And he was always buying us a horse. You know, he wasn't buying them for him. He'd buy them for us. And every time he'd bring a horse home, he'd say, Ronnie, get on this horse and ride it. And they wonder why I don't like horses to this day. So I'd get on the horse. I said, why? He said, because we got to know if them kids can ride it. Well, hell, I wasn't but 2 years older than they were. So I'd get on them horses. Well, he bought this horse one time. And he came home, and its hooves were that tall. I mean, this horse hadn't had hooves cleaned. And he was poor, and he was bad shape. And why he bought it, I hadn't figured out yet. And he said, Ronnie, I need you to ride this horse and see if it's okay. And I said, Junior, I don't know if it'll carry me, you know. So I get on it. I couldn't have been more than 11, 12, maybe. So I get on the horse, and he didn't rein him out of the barn and just started walking up the hill. And he just
see now this is a new tale.
He just walking up
that
hill.
They did things that I didn't
know.
Now,
right behind his house, there was an old board arc thicket. Fence row. You know how them old board arch fence rows are. Well, this one was thick. Hadn't been thinned out. Most of them we had thinned down pretty good. You'd get through them. This one wasn't. This one wasn't nothing. And I turned that horse and walked down by the house, and I got off. He had a tack room up behind his house, and I got me a Coke. He had 6 cent Cokes in there. But you didn't have to pay for it. You just hit the handle, get you something to drink. It was hot. I got me a Coke. I drank my Coke, and I was going to go back to the barn. Well, I did a stupid kid's mistake. I said, well, this horse didn't do bad. I just kind of kicked him up a little bit, and I kicked him up, and I'm headed at the barn. Well, this horse takes a damn turn right through that thicket. It takes me right through those board arcs. And, I mean, I'm scratched up and bloodied up. I wanted to kill that horse. I come running around that corner. I'm going to say, what's wrong? What's wrong? You remember that?
Did you ever get on the horse again?
Not that one.
Oh, he's got horses here.
I'll tell you another story about another thing. These are just memories. He bought a from Doc Leslie. You remember Doc Leslie?
Yeah, I remember his name, yeah.
Well, Slick Gentry bought to sell Joe's calves? Or
Slick
Doc?
Gentry.
No, Slick.
His Slick? Okay. This is a real good friend of his. He sold him a herd of calves. Well, in those calves was a dwarf bull. Now, this bull is probably 6, 7 years old. It's a dwarf. Looks about the size of a calf. But he bought 35 calves, and he would just slid this one in there and got another head. And it ain't worth nothing. This calf, this thing ain't worth nothing. We fed it for 2 years. He said, I don't believe that calf's going to grow up. So anyway, we decided we're going to catch it.
Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Hello, I'm
Barbara,
good.
How are you?
I'm good. How's everybody?
Good.
Let him finish the story. We're about, you know, doing recording. It looks like it is your parents.
Oh, okay. And how do we check in and all that?
See that young lady at that tablecloth right there?
The tablecloth?
Yeah,
okay.
She's the proprietor here, and she can take care of you.
Okay, thanks.
So anyway, we decided to catch this bull. And Uncle Drew says, I'm going to take him, pawn him off on somebody just like he was pawned off on me. He bought him at night at the Carrollton sale barn, or was it at Slick's house?
Oh, he brought him by the house.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so he had a 49 or 48 Ford pickup, that gold pickup. What was that?
It don't matter.
Anyway, his old pickup, he had sideboards on it. We're going to catch him, put him in his truck, right? We'd built an old barn down there. It had stalls in it, but it didn't have any gates. It just had a place for a gate, but it didn't have no gate on there. And we had that thing was wilder than could be. And we herded him up, and we got him in that pen. And when we got him in that pen, Junior jumped across that stall and grabbed one side, grabbed the other, and spread his legs and stood there in front of him. He said, get that truck back up here to this gate right now. So I jump in the truck. Our daddy jumped in the truck. That's right. Daddy jumped in the truck. He's going to back up. And I'm standing there about that time, that little bullet. That foot raked, and he hit Junior right dead in the chest. He runs smooth over. He come out of that. Junior's laying out there. And I've laughed about that every time I tell it, but it's so hilarious.
You're still alive today.
Oh, yeah.
I had a goat done the same thing.
But the goat hit him in the head.
Hit me right between the eyes.
You think he learned how to do it?
Jumping in front of a gate with no gate in it.
You're not going to do that anymore, though, are you?
I can't jump.
Who did? And that little bull run over. That little bull was so funny. You know the troughs that you make going down the hill that the cows make the ruts? He was walking down, going to our creek one day. We were together. We were walking down that little bull. He walked down and he was real fat because he ate all the time. We was trying to fatten him up. Well, we did, but he didn't get any bigger. But he got down there, and all of a sudden he got stuck in that rut, and his feet wouldn't hit the ground. He was just hanging from his sides.
It's right down there before we were telling you the wash.
Where the wash is.
Where the cows had walked along, that they watered it out.
But he didn't have long enough legs to keep him up off the ground. Yeah. But Coppell's been nothing but good memories. I do enjoy it.
Had a lot of fun.
Well, it's been wonderful. I'm going to stop there.